Holger Lefsen is here to talk about us about Skol Linux or Debian Edu or how he wants to call it, and how to get it or when to get it into the Debian main archive. Holger.
Thank you, Tess. Yeah, hi. The talk is titled "The Long Road to Debian." The long road to Debian Edu in Debian Lenny main, and I'll quite a bit tell about Debian Edu and what we did in Edge, and then explain how we develop and what our plans for Lenny are. The outline is not really the outline that the talk has. And this would be an alternative title which came to my mind while doing the slides, what we do, but I think the other one is more correct. I'm going to drop this stuff which I have in the slides, just what my history about Debian, but I told this last year and the year before, and yeah. The original idea of Debian Edu is to have a software distribution with a complete IT platform for primary schools. Now it's also for universities. The ethical goals are also, I guess, pretty clear here, so that children can not only use the software and learn to use the interface, but also get behind the scenes, get the source code, change stuff, and so on. And it's localized in languages and other advantages, but this is not really about why free software is good in schools. And this is the same, which I think is really clear. And Debian Edu actually and Skol Linux started separately. In 2001 in Norway, Skol Linux was started, and around the same time, Raphael Herzog started Debian Edu. We merged and kept both names, because in certain areas, education translated, and other school is to school and other names. I tend to say Debian Edu is the project name and Skol Linux is the distribution, just to make a distinguish for me, but you can really have it like you want. And yeah, school-specific needs are also not really school-specific. Low maintenance wants everybody. Out-of-the-box setup is also a feature everybody wants. Little resources is fine. Localization and certain tools which are used in schools and the source code availability. But most schools nowadays really need Office, Java, and Flash, because all these school applications are written either in Java or in Flash. And that is not really school-specific at all. Also, small businesses, they also need, or big businesses, they need Office, they need Flash, and they need Java. And nowadays, with Lenny, hopefully, Java and Flash should be free in Debian. We'll see if this really works out. Debian Edu is an official custom Debian distribution. We're a sub-project. So in Debian Edu, there are about 30 people working really on Debian Edu and lots of translators, but we really use the manpower of the 1,000 developers in Debian. We only have, I'll tell you later, 25 packages are different at the moment. We also do a lot of real-life gatherings. We had one already this year in Norway, and we plan to have 3 or 4 or 5 more, because it's better to discuss stuff than on the mailing list. It's not really so good to work mostly, because you discuss more than you get work done. And yeah, we had in Edge, we had 9 packages which were not in Debian, and 16 we modified. And for Lenny, we want to have 0, and I'll come to that into more detail later. We contribute a lot to Debian, because we have our own archive, so people learn to use the Debian tools like Dubload or Lintian or whatever packaging, and so they can upload to our archive and don't upload to Debian. We get the rights earlier. Then with the money from the Skol Linux Foundation, we also founded the development of Debian installer 4 years ago or something in that range. And also the preceding of Debian installer was developed because Debian Edu needed it. And testing security was kicked off with money. And LTSP, and Java and Gnash is more work which is done by Debian Edu people because we need these packages. LTSP is the Linux terminal server project for thin clients and distant workstations. So we try to get our work in Debian. We don't want to have the work extra. The develop model is the same as Debian. Or it's not the same. In Debian, a source code management system like SVN or Git or whatever is not mandatory. It's also not mandatory for our packages, but we use it and we encourage, and it doesn't make sense to not use one. We unfortunately have two bug tracking systems, which is a bit painful. We have bugs Debian org for the packages, and we have bugs school Linux org, which is a Bugzilla instance, which is mostly used by users who report problems with the distributions, which could be reassigned to the Debian BTS, but we don't. We just use both bug tracking systems. We commit everything. We try to commit everything upstream. And of course follow the license. And also we try to give people the right to do stuff. We give out access fairly easily because it's easy to revert actions and revoke access. That's less work than always merging patches and hand-holding the people. And as in Debian, the person who does something decides it. Our main development tool is the mailing list. We have Debian Edu at list.debian.org as the development mailing list. There are many more support mailing lists in different local languages. And now there's also Debian Edu Announce, where we announce security updates and updated packages. We use wiki.debian.org for our development-centric pages. We also have localized wikis like wikiskolelinux.de is the German wiki, and wikiskolelinux.no is the Norwegian wiki. And we have an IRC channel where we do monthly IRC meetings regularly with summaries, and we have a strict time limit on it. It's 1 hour and not more. And we do these frequent real life gatherings, and we use Alios as a subversion project for also. And we have our own archive and our own CD builds. In the archive, we have Sarge, Edge test, Lenny, and Lenny test. Lenny test and Edge tests are a bit like SID in Debian, so we upload to Edge test or Lenny test, and then manually move the packages to any or ledge. Edge test and Lenny test are auto-built for i386, AMD64, and PowerPC, which are the architectures we support. And now Edge and Sarge are untouchable. That is, the archive software doesn't accept any new packages there. We have to manually unfreeze the archive to accept packages. And we give upload rights to non-Debian developers. We have policies for that, which are basically the same rules than Debian. But it's much easier process. You just send a mail, I want access. And if you are known because you did work, then you get access. Otherwise, you need to explain why you want access. You usually also get SVN access first, so you can work in the subversion repository, and then later you get upload rights. And as soon as something, this is wrong on the slide, as soon as something is triggered in the CD building script or a package is uploaded, then the CDs are auto-built automatically, all CDs and DVDs, so we can, and so we upload to Edge test or Lenny test, so we can test the changes there, and then we say, okay, we want to move the package from Lenny test to Lenny when we think it's more stable. At the moment, we don't care about Lenny, we just care about Lenny test. Because Lenny, we just test, and Lenny is not in the stage that is really usable. During Edge, when we developed on Edge till December, basically, when we did our last point release, there it was that we uploaded to Edge test, did many CD tests in Edge test, and then moved the packages over to Edge and did only small tests on the Edge thing because the chances are so small. The changes, not the chances. We have a Debian installer, which we further simplified. I think Debian has 12 questions you need to answer and we have 5, I think. We have our multi-arch DVD is only 3 architectures, so there's 1.6 or something gigabyte for each architecture, which is enough to do a full install without the network. And we have KDE as a default desktop with Java and Flash, and we have also the KDE kiosk mode pre-configured. And we, yeah. So that we reorder the menus a bit and do other changes from Debian to make it more suited for schools. And we have live CDs, which are auto-built also. They're not manually done, but they are built with scripts. And I explain this because this network architecture, of course, you can do it with Debian or all the other features, but we did choose, we made choices which the teachers or our users don't have to do. So they don't have to think about the network architecture, which IP addresses they take, or what layout they have, or if they should choose KDE or GNOME, we choose KDE, and that's it. If they want to change, they can change, but sometimes too much choice is bad. And the nice thing about, can you read this hardly? We have a router, which is not a Debian EDU system, which is any router. It has a fixed IP address, 10.0.2.1. And the server is always 10.2.2.2. And with this, we configure all these services. We have LDAP, where we keep the users in and the machine names. And we have HomeDS with NFS. We have web server configured for this. We have mail configured, remote syslog, Munin, CAPS, and the basic network services, which are all set up. So the first thing you do is you install the server, which has this fixed IP address, and then you install another machine, and we change the Debian installer question so that the one question you are asked after the languages is what type of system do you want to install? Do you want to install the main server, a workstation, or a workstation server, or a standalone system, which is not there? And after you choose this, the machine gets configured according to this profile. And to configure this without command line, we now have LWAT, which is a very young tool. Before that, we had Webmin, which was much more had more features, but then due to code quality issues, was removed from Debian. So we had to come up with something new for Edge. And personally, I think we should maybe come up with something else for Lenny, but then it would, on the other hand, changing the admin tool every release is also a bad idea. And the LWAT also, of course, also wants to improve the software, so maybe we just stay with it because it works for our needs. Yeah. This is really important that it works after installing just by answering these questions. And we have a manual which is developed in a wiki. I do review of all commit mails. Sometimes I do some changes, like move stuff in a different chapter or even move stuff out because I think it doesn't belong into the manual. Then it's exported from Moin Moin as XML docbook, then with PO for all transferred to GetText files. They are translated by translators. And then we create HTML or PDFs, and then this is all in the Debian EDU doc package in Subversion. The translations are there, and if there's, we can update the XML files also in the Subversion package, and then so we have the feature that we can edit in a wiki. Everybody can edit there, and we still have translations, which are not done in the wiki, but with GetText. GetText is much better for translations than Moin Moin or any other wiki. And since October, I upload the package once a month, so the translators have time to catch up with translations. And I would plan to do this during Edge lifetime, basically. So at the moment, I upload 2 versions. I upload to Edge, our Edge, which is the stable archive, or Edge test in this case, and the same package to SID. I'll come to that back later. And if somebody is working on Moin Moin, the Moin Moin docport export is really broken. Like the our document, which is at the moment 80 pages, has between 1,000 and 2,000 XML errors, and the ETL documentation, which is another Norwegian document with 400 pages, has over 10,000 XML errors from the Moin Moin docport export. The code is fairly unmaintained. So if somebody wants to do something, that's a good thing. We install USplash per default and enable that. Also, if you just install the server has USplash. We have USplash on every system. We also have Dash on every system for faster boot and for faster script running. ETC is automatically kept in SVK. SVK is a distributed SVN add-on. And we have AVM auto-resize. That is the when we set up, when we partition the hard drive, we keep the most space empty. And we have different partitions. And there's a script which we have not enabled on default. But it's just one entry in the cron trap. And then the partition gets resized, made bigger, as soon as the partition is 80% full or something, some value. And these are changes which are in Debian, but which are not enabled in Debian in default. You can also do in dpkg reconfigure dash, and then you have dash per default. We've done this and have many users who use it. This point, so in July 2007, we did our Edge Space release, which was 3 months after Edge, because we had to test our changes, and it took some time to test them all. And for the point release, we fixed 40 bugs about, which were mostly in our Bugzilla, not Debian bugs. And we updated 18 packages, which I have some more detail. And we built new CD and DVD images, of course. And now Edge is really frozen for us. If there are still fixes, we have our development is now for Lenny also, in the trunk of the SVN repository, and we branch for Edge if necessary. But so far, it has not been necessary. There are one, two bugs which are fixed and we could do, but there are not too many people screaming, so we don't do it. So the only thing what really is happening is the documentation updates. That's it. So this is, there are 18,786 or something packages in Edge, and we have 25 which are modified. These are the packages which are not in main. This is Edge test, and this is Edge. So in Edge test, we added these flash packages. Can you read? Okay. Nee, der. Nein. Der. Yeah. So, and these two flash packages are not actually in Edge, and I doubt we'll put them in Edge. Live Helper is just used for our CD building. So the other packages are localization config, which did some changes. This is LTSPFS, is local support for local device support for LTSP, so that if you have a diskless or workstation or a thin client, that your USB stick and CD drive works locally. LVAT is this admin tool. So the really important ones are Debian Edo install and Debian Edo config, which do some changes to Debian installer and to the package selection. And this is the list of packages which are newer than in Debian Edu Edge. That is mostly after the point release in December, where we fixed small bugs. The KDE package, the i18n packages, just contains new translations for Norwegian Bokmål and Norsk, which is great. I uploaded 100 binary packages to fix two. Discover had some more hardware support, same as Hull. The Debian Edu archive keyring was updated, I think for some Lintian errors or something, or maintainers. So, maintainers field. We fixed a bug in Munin. We have a new feature in site summary. We added a new hard card in XDEP configurator. So we are less strict than Debian in our policy regarding point releases. Yeah, less work is always a good motivation. Also better security support and stuff we rely on Debian. We have a security team ourselves, but that's two active people. So if we can get, the more we can get integrated into Debian, the more we can concentrate on making the distribution fit for educational use, which is what we want to do. We don't want to fix hardware problems, or we don't want to do lots of stuff we do not at the moment because we have to do. And personally, I also see Debian Edu as a testbed for changes in Debian. Like we have Dash enabled since Edge. I don't know when it happened in the Edge development cycle, and Debian is now thinking about doing it. But we proved that for our set of packages, it works without problems. And there are many similar things, like I have some more later. Yeah, for the Lenny release, Linux is another custom Debian distribution for schools used in the region in Extremadura in Spain, and they made their own distribution. And last year, you did an upload on Cesar is from them with of Woody with 2.6.18 kernel, I think.
Woody?
Yeah.
No.
It was Sarge, yeah, of course, but still, 2.6.18 in.
2.6.21.
So and they decided to now use Debian Edu to not have another custom distribution. Derivative, so they can also we can join forces on the effort. For example, they have a math teacher who is working on the distribution, who does these hardware changes, but he would rather like to work on math packages, and because this is what he's good at, and the other thing he's more doing because he has to do it. So we can get lots of synergy effects there. And the problem was that Linux wants to deploy already this summer before Lenny is released. So maybe they will just freeze Lenny and do another point or another little fork. What is new for us there is that Linux uses GNOME as a default, while we used KDE historically. So with the next release, we'll provide means to choose either KDE or GNOME and have this integrated with the rest of the desktop changes. Like we also have icons on the desktop. I set this KDE kiosk mode, and we need to do similar changes for GNOME. And I think that we might, I hope we will release with Lenny, but I think it might be sensible to do point releases after Lenny, not in sync with Debian. Maybe do that, I'm not sure. I'm happy to discuss this. It's an idea. And just the marketing problem, our version number was 3.0, the Edge-based release, and Debian was 4.0, so maybe Debian Edu will just skip 4.0, not sure. What else do we plan? Yeah. LWPI services is at the moment we are looking at the DNS server bind and DHCP to that they get their configuration data from LDAP and not from text files anymore. Because then we can use LDAP tools to administrate them and don't the then the most important services are all can all be configured with the same tool and not in schools the administrators are often teachers who do it after school who don't have much time, so we want to help them there. And which you can see in this bug, which I'll show the next slides. There what let's see. I'll come to this bug in the next slide. And another thing we really need to do is to make it easier to change the IP addresses of this default architecture, because often people have certain IP networks and they cannot change them. So and then if they cannot change the IP address, then the whole auto setup of LDAP and the other stuff doesn't work. So they have to. There's a how to do it manually, but we want to just have an option in DI that you can enter the IP addresses there. And so at the moment, our workstations are also required to be in the network to get the login information from LDAP, and it's not. You can cache the LDAP information, but this is not done. So if you have a laptop as a workstation and you take the laptop outside the school network, then you cannot log in anymore. And we need to fix this. Yeah, I told this about KDE. And the rest, yeah. And this, we want to switch to remote syslog. Because we found the maintainer of the syslogd in Debian was not really helpful with the changes we need to make it so that we can configure it the way we need it. So we'll switch the syslog, which is also now discussed in Debian, which is the same thing with usplash or dash. That what I see that you can easier do changes in Debian Edu than they are possibly to be done in Debian. So this is also a reason why I like to work on Debian Edu, because we can just change stuff very easily there. Read ahead is a way to improve the boot speed. So this wonderful bug with the easy to memorize number even has their own wiki page, because it's easier to track it than with the BTS. The bug was the severity was RC for 2 years. Then 2 weeks or so, I downgraded it after discussing it with the release team for the fifth time or something. because we don't violate policy by the word. The user chooses to install Debian Edu, so it's the user choice, and then the package modifies other packages' conf files. Which is okay, the user chooses it. But it makes upgrades really painful. That was worse with Woody and Sarge, because we modified many, many more packages than we do now. But it will still be, or maybe it will be painful for upgrades to Lenny, we don't know yet. At the moment, these are the bugs which are left. And they are all the same type. Make this package automatically configurable. because for the NTP package, for example, the NTP packages use it as default pool.debian.pool.ntp.org or whatever, and we want to use it as the NTP server, this Tiena server, which is the main server, and only that server should use an external NTP server. So we have to have a different package configuration. Yeah, these are the same bugs. Not expecting you to look up the numbers now anyway, so I'll just go fast. And basically, it's just a plea to maintainers use something like etc apache2 confd, where you can drop in config files or use hidden debconf questions when that's sensible. So that, because it's not only Debian Edo which needs this configuration, but also other custom Debian distribution also have the same changes to do. So you not only help Debian Edo, but everybody. Yeah, and we need lots of people with different skills in different areas. That's it. We know about 400 schools in Europe who use it. We know the biggest installation has something like 30,000 users. And these 400 schools in Europe don't count the Extremadura. I don't know. It's this estimation how many Debian users are, was also something from 20 million to 100 million or something, and it's guessing numbers. There are numbers from the archive, how many security updates there are downloaded. But this is not users, this is schools.
So. Are you planning to make small conferences for persons from different countries which would like to become ambassadors for the project?
Not yet.
I think it would be a good idea.
We're actually going to have such meeting at, we'll call it the International Developer Gathering. It will most likely happen in June 2008. I think it's 3 months from now. We're starting inviting people so they can come and share experiences with NU and other free software projects. And we are also inviting some special guests there. So maybe from US, certainly from Extremadura, and we're going to have two things. One is experience sharing, and the other is actually a regular developer gathering.
Where is that going?
And most likely at the University of Agder, south of Norway, but we have to look into that. But they said yes, actually, when we are quite long from the goal to do that, exactly that. And they got the money.
This is not a normal developer gathering. This is a Debian Edo gathering of a different kind, because as I understood her question, it was about ambassadors, which is not.
Ambassadors will be invited because we have countries now or states considering switching Debian Edo, and they have this question, how should we manage that? How should we start? And when you have a US state, for instance, with 6 million inhabitants and 1 million pupils, they need some help just to get started. So we want to do is to invite these people there so they can learn from experience in that respect, but also combine that with a regular developer gathering. So this is very important. Not treating free software developers as aids with Pine. We need to integrate that into the process and let also the new ambassadors learn from what they already have done of good work.
Also, there might be some money in the European Union, especially for translating educational programs which already exist in Spanish and French to make them come into this school in the new system. Has anybody tried to find out whether there could be some money or some funding for this?
We did. I'm Petr Enoch, who one of the coordinators in Debian Edu. We did have a look at applying for money from the EU, but the people we talked to said it was a lot of work and we didn't have the manpower to look into it. It's a question of manpower and spending hours talking to the EU bureaucracy. So if you have,
if you know one,
if you want to help out, more than we will do.
We need you, Anna. Can you just write the application for us?
More technical question. How do you handle the Debian point you need this? Do you do a Because you said you made only one point release for Debian Edu, did that include the previous Debian point releases? Or?
We just use the Debian archives. The school Linux machine uses both archives. Our archives only contains these 25 packages and the rest of Debian.
You need to make
it. Yeah. And so, so far, the Debian point releases didn't really change the Debian installer much. So this is the really only thing we copy this the initrd from the installer. This is what we copy, and then we build the installer ourselves. So as long as there are no changes, then it's fine.
Any links with initiatives like OLPC or stuff like that, where you wouldn't have terminals but more machines in the user's hands.
What is the question?
The question is the question was whether you have cooperation with other projects like OLPC, because that's a very different approach. So the question I think was whether there are still some cooperation possible. Because it's both about school kids.
Yeah, we have even formal cooperations, I think, with OLPC, at least that's what I had on a different slide, where we had cooperations also with KDE, with the KDE Edu project, and with Edu Ubuntu, but there's not much. There's an exchange of ideas and stuff, but that is the exchange, and in the end,
more about the server and terminals, where the server manages lots of things and the terminals are just screens for a classroom, and OLPC is more like individual PCs for children.
This was one of the problems I mentioned, that these laptops are not useful outside the classroom at the moment with our architecture, and this is certainly targeted at this, and I'm also an OLPC developer, and I gave an OLPC, borrowed it to somebody so he can investigate how to use them in schools, because laptops have advantages in schools. Like with desktop PCs, which they have done in Extremadura, you have to fix the tables. So then you cannot arrange the tables in the classroom anymore. So teachers would love to have laptops. So there is cooperation, yeah.
For example, the LTSP packet in Debian is maintained with a team from DBDU and Ubuntu, and also cooperating with Upstream for LTSP, which is called GM and Express. So there is a few limited projects where we actually have active cooperation, but most of it is intentions and share
ideas, but not much direct cooperation. People like a moral, it's a bandwidth problem. People are too busy with their problems and don't have time for all the things we want to do.
And I have to say this, we have even sponsored to have developer gathering handling, for instance, as you pointed out, the issue about logging on laptops into the network. We also need to log on other stuff on that. For instance, we could do some work with Samba integration, even better, upstream with Samba. It will help maybe also connect other kind of devices, because some people also are very addicted to some Microsoft stuff, and just to let them use their stuff on our network is better than install a Windows 2003 server or 2007 server. So they can still use their addictivity to Microsoft stuff. And it will not be quoted on that, hopefully, on video already, I'm sorry. But my point is that when we put the money on the table and we have actually sponsored that activity and asked people to come, everybody is kind of, I'm doing that. So to just get the right team together to do good things is not always easy, because it's a lot of logistics doing exactly that, even if everybody in favor of it. So if people come, then Debian maybe another project to look to more opportunity for cooperation, not working or as long in organizing that, we actually got some traveling money on handling all this. So your work hour will be kind of, you don't pay for that, everything sponsoring, but we pay for the travels and food and maybe also some to stay at a hotel or something.
Okay, there are no more questions.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. In a quarter of an hour, we'll continue with a talk by Luc Klaas about the Lenny release.